We are in Tivot Shalom on Parshat Emor. We have a really fantastic opportunity this week to actually cross over the Parsha with the time of the year, because the source for many of the halachot and the hashkafa behind Sfirat HaOmer comes from Psukim in this week's Parsha. So we're learning from Parshat Emor about Sfirat HaOmer. So that was a great opportunity, and Bezrat Hashem, let's see what he has to say. We're in Vayikra, page Kuf Zayin, Sfirat HaOmer. Ki tavo el ha'aretz asher anochi noten lachem uktzartem et ketzira. When you come into the land, which I will give to you, and you cut the first cutting of the crops, ve'vitem et omer reshit ketzirchem, and you bring an omer's worth of the beginning of your reaping, el ha'kohen, you'll bring it to the kohen. Ve'nifet ha'omer lifnei Hashem, and the Kohen will wave as a wave offering this Omer of barley before Hashem Lirtzonchem, Mimocharat HaShabbat, on the day after, it says here the Shabbat, but Chazal understand that to mean the day after the first day of Pesach. It's that this Korban is brought on the second day of Pesach, which is when we start counting Sfirat HaOmer, because it's connected to, obviously, this idea of the Omer offering. Yanifu HaKohen, he will wave this offering, the Kohen will wave this offering. Ulahalan Ketiv, and later on it says, Usfartem lachem imocharata Shabbat, miyom haviachem et omer hatinufa. And you will count for yourselves from after Pesach, from the day you bring the omer hatinufa, from the day you bring as an offering the omer of waving, Tisperu chamishim yom, you will count 50 days. And on the 50th day, you will bring a brand new offering to Hashem. On the 50th day, which is Shavuot, we bring the new offering of the Shtei Halechem, of the two breads that are brought on the Chag of Shavuot. From your dwelling places, you will bring bread as a wave offering, two breads as a wave offering to Hashem on Shavuot, as your first fruits to Hashem. So that's the quote from this week's Parsha. This Korban, and again, this Korban, as the Pesukim state, this Korban is brought on this Dafkas, very specifically, on the day after the first day of Pesach. The way that would work halachically is that when the new crop would grow each year, the new crop of grain, one was not allowed to use any of the new grain until this offering, an offering of an omer of barley, was brought to the Beit HaMikdash the day after the first day of Pesach, the second day of Pesach. This was the korban of the omer, which means an omer of barley. An omer is a measurement. An omer of barley was brought, and it was waved before Hashem, and that would, on a technical halachic level, it would allow us to begin eating of the crop, the new crop of the new year. Obviously, this also leads to the counting of Sfirat HaOmer. That's where it gets its name from the omer of barley, Sfirat HaOmer, counting from when this omer was brought, this omer of barley was brought, and that's, I assume, what he's going to focus on in this piece. So let's see what the Netivot Shalom has to say. We're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines in after the full stop, after the period. It says La Hashem, and then Yesh. That's what we're up to. Yesh La'avin is the Netivot Shalom. We have to understand. Lama mitzvah ta'omer ne'emra b'toch parashat ha'mo'adot. Why is the mitzvah of bringing the korban ha'omer mentioned in this section of the Torah, which walks through in Parshat Emor? It goes through in the second half all of the holidays from beginning to end. For Pesach, Sfirat HaOmer, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. It goes through the whole cycle of the mo'adot. So why does it talk about the bringing of the Omer offering in such detail in Parshat HaMo'adot? Meaning, the way that it's talking about it here, it's about a korban of your first fruit. So put it in the korban section. Put it in the section of bringing your first fruit offerings. What are you talking about bringing a korban of the Omer, of your first grain offering, here in the cycle of the Mo'adot? That the beginning of the Omer is when you bring the first Omer offering, the first of the cutting of your fields, and it ends, this process ends, like we said, with the bringing of the two bread offerings on Shavuot. This is very bringing your first produce focused, not holiday focused. What is it doing here in the holiday section of the Torah? V'im kein, Tamua lama nichtav kan b'parashat ha-moadot dimash masha omer kashur le-moadim. That why is it mentioned here again in the parsha of the Moadot? Because the implication seems to be that the Omer is connected to the holidays. Kein tzarich be'or. We also need to understand. Be'inyan sfirat ha-omer, and the general concept of sfirat ha-omer, meaning what is sfirat ha-omer itself about? Dichtiv, it says, usfartem lachem mochorat ha-shabbat. You shall count for yourselves after Pesach from the day you bring this Omer offering. That it seems that this counting is specifically linked to the bringing of this Omer offering. Meaning, all of us who are in classes in Shiurim now, where we're learning about Sfira to Omer, we're learning about Sfira and counting up to Shavuos and fixing your Midot, whatever Shiur you're in. Meaning, it's all about all of us. Nobody's like, it's counting from the time you bring an Omer's volume of barley to the Beit HaMikdash. Like, well, what's the connection between counting up to Matan Torah and getting into Sfiras HaOmer and counting these days? Who cares about its connection to bringing an Omer's volume of barley to shake in the Beis HaMikdash? Who cares? What's the connection between the two? That the Torah Dafka links them together and it becomes the name of the time period. That it becomes the name of Sfirat HaOmer. It's called the Sfira LeMatan Torah. What are you calling it? Sfira that starts after that we brought that little barley offering. Really? That's what it's about? That it becomes the name? We just said that to the extent that it's called Sfiras HaOmer, it gives it its name. What does Sfira, this counting process that we're in, what does it have to do with this Omer of barley? The whole concept of Sfiras HaOmer is a preparation for Matan Torah. L'tahareinu miklipotenu umitumotenu, to purify us from all of the tum'ah that we have, that we're leaving the tum'ah of Mitzrayim behind, to get ready for the Kedusha of Matan Torah. That's what Sfirat HaOmer is about. We're leaving the tum'ah of Mitzrayim behind, we're purifying ourselves for 50 days till we get to Matan Torah. That we're purifying the souls of Klal Yisrael from all of their spiritual dirt. What does that have to do with Sfirat HaOmer, this purification process? What does that have to do with Sfirat HaOmer? Clear on the questions? Remember, if you read Derech Hashem, I just need smiles and nods. We're on Zoom. There we go. Thank you. Again, even if you're not paying attention at all, when I say that, just give me a smile, a nod, a thumbs up. It at least makes me feel good. It's a chesed. Somebody asked what was the last question? What is the preparation for Matan Torah and our purification? What does that have to do with a barley offering on the day after Pesach? Going on to the next paragraph. We also have to explain that the Omer is called Omer HaTinufa. The Omer Tnufa means to be waved. There are many korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash that were waved up and down and then in all four directions. It was part of the process of many of the korbanot or aspects of korbanot. And so the question is, why is it called the Omer HaTnufa? The Omer volume of waving. V'chein shtei halechem, nikret lechem tnufa. So too are the two breads that are brought on Shavuos called the bread of waving. Why this emphasis on waving if there's waving by so many other korbanot? It's an aspect of the korban, but why does it give it its name? Omer ha-tnufa, lechem ha-tnufa. Why does it become part of the name? V'chein matzinu v'chol ha-parasha, sha-omer mityaches b'myuchad al shem ha-tnufa. We see throughout this parasha that the Omer is always connected to, always referred to, in connection to the term tnufa, of being waved. Kedichtiv. These are going to be psukim emphasizing that when it mentions the Omer, it mentions that it must be waved. We already heard it. Why does it keep saying it? Kedichtiv. Miyom aviyachem et Omer ha-tnufa. V'asitem b'yom ha-nifchem. Et ha-omer, keves tamim. Again and again, linking the cause of it needing to be waved to the Omer. Shelech ora ikar inyan ha-omer, hu reshit kitzirchem. That the essence of this Omer is that it's the beginning of our reaping of our crops from the fields. V'ayalo lomar miyom aviyachem et omer reshit kitzirchem. It shouldn't say you brought the Omer of waving. It should say you brought the Omer of your first reaping from the field. That should be the emphasis. I don't care that it's being waved. The fact, it's, what is it an Omer of? It's an Omer of my first fruits, of my first crop that's being brought to the Beit HaMikdash. V'chim z'man akravata omer mimocharata shabbat, lo ne'emar miyad b'tchila al etzem akrava. And so too, the time of the omer being brought, of it being after Pesach, is not said immediately about the essence of it being brought. Kim l'gabe atufa, it's mentioned also in reference to the fact that it needs to be waived. Mimocharata shabbat, after Pesach, yanifu akohen. Then the kohen would wave it after Pesach. But again, back to this waving. What's with all the waving? Umashma mikol zesha tnufa hi ikar ha'ikarim ve'etzem ha'mitzvah. That this clearly implies that somehow the waving is essential to this mitzvah. There are so many other things to have latched onto. Why is the waving so important? Ukimosh nikra yom hava'ata omer bechazal yom hanef. Meaning even Chazal referred to this as the day of waving. Right? The day that we bring this, it's called the day of waving. What's this evidence on the waving? Kain tzarich bior. We also need to understand. Mashim mefaresh Rashi ala tnufa, that which Rashi says about the waving. Sha'al vehinif et ha'omer hevi divrei Chazal, he brings the words of Chazal to explain this. Kol tnufa molichu mevi ma'aleu morid ledal ruchot lemalu lemata. That he says that it would be waved up and down and in all four directions. That's how it would be waved, up and down and in all four directions. V'ilu b'inyan shtei alechem, but when Rashi, meaning that's how Rashi explains the waving by the omer, as it's supposed to be done, up and down and in all four directions. But when Rashi then comes and explains in his Perush on Chumash the waving by the two breads on Shavuos, in his commentary there, just a few psukim later, when Rashi comments on the waving there, he says, Mimoshevotechem taviu lechem tnufa shtayim, top of the next column, Ketiv Rashi lechem tnufa, and Rashi says on lechem tnufa, this bread which will be waved, lechem truma hamuram l'shem gavoa, that it means tnufa, meaning that it's going to be brought up and raised up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'tzarich peyor al derech avodah, mayim betza b'chinot shel tnufa shenemar b'Rashi. We have to understand in terms of our avodah, what are these two aspects of the waving? That on the one hand, the waving infers that it needs to be waved up and down in all four directions, and on the other hand, this waving is somehow about waving and raising it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi is bringing out two aspects of the waving in all directions, and somehow this waving is about raising it up and waving it towards, raising it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are these two aspects of the waving, and what does it mean in terms of our Avodat Hashem? Odi Shlever, three lines then on the top of the left column. Odi Shlever, Hadish Dibishtei HaLechem Ketiv Bikurim LaHashem, that which by the Shtei Alechem, that which by the two breads of Shavuos, it says, Bikurin LaHashem, first fruits to God. V'chein Chag HaShavuot Gufa Nikra Yom HaBikurim B'Parashat Pinchas. And so too, Shavuos itself is called Yom HaBikurim, the day of the first fruits. V'ilu Legabe HaOmer Reshit Ketzirchem Lo Hizkar Lashon Bikurim. Even though we're bringing the first of the reaping of the fields, the term Bikurim, the first fruits, a unique term of Bikurim, is not used by when we bring the first of the barley, the first of the reaping on the Omer. It's only used by the bringing of the two breads, the two lechems, on Shavuot. Two paragraphs of questions. Let's in the time that we have, let's see if we can get some answers. That's what I thought. It's a shorter piece. Good. Well, that's Rosh Hashanah. We'll see what he has to say. The goal is to go through the whole piece. Right? It's only two pages. Let's see some answers. Let's see how he answers these questions. And get to the essence of what Sfirat HaOmer is about and what our avoda in Sfirat HaOmer is supposed to be about. V'yesh lomar ha'inam. We're in the second paragraph on the left side of Kuf Zayin. About 10 lines in. V'yesh lomar. Ha'inyan al pi ma'amar maran adonenu morenu v'rabenu beveis Avraham zichoto yagin aleinu. We can understand this based on what the Slonimer says. The Slonimer, I mean, kilu, this whole the Tivot Shalom is in the Slonimer Chassidus. So they're quoting one of the previous Admors, one of the previous Rebbes, Slonimer Rebbes. Shaya chozer alav kol shana. Lifnei hasfira harishona b'shem Aviv Hakadosh, that he would constantly talk about throughout the whole year. Sorry, every year before Sfirat HaOmer, he would say in the name of his father, She'inyan yemei hasfira nirmaz b'mamar hakatuv. He would say that if you really want to get into Sfirat HaOmer, you understand what Sfirat HaOmer is about from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Adam uvehema toshia Hashem. Man and beast will see Yeshua, will see salvation from Hashem. Adam uvehema toshia Hashem. That's the pasuk that he would link into to explain Sfirat HaOmer. How so? Sheha Omer Karav mi Seorim. that the Omer was brought from barley. The Omer offering on the day after Pesach was brought dafka from barley. You take a look at, somebody asked me, can I repeat the pasuk? If you look inside, it's in line number 4, the first 4 words of the line, Adam v'imato shia Hashem. Sha'omer karav mi se'orim. That the omer is being brought from se'orim, it's being brought from barley. She'ma'achal behema. That barley is specifically food which is being fed to animals. Barley is more animal food. We don't eat barley as much as we eat wheat. Wheat is a staple of life, is a staple of human life, not to the same extent that barley is, and barley is considered, according to the Torah, more connected to, more used to be feed for animals, certainly than wheat. It's machal behema. Ushte halechem, and the 2 loaves of bread that we bring on Shavuos, machrivim michitim. Shehim ma'achal adam. Those are brought from wheat. We turn wheat into bread. Wheat is made. Wheat flour is what we use to make bread. Is what we commonly use to make bread, right? And so that's you. We dafka use wheat for the shtei alechem. Meaning somehow what's happening over the course of Sfirat HaOmer is that we're shifting from wheat to barley, and somehow implying therefore moving somehow from the animal to the human. Shezo avodat yemei hasfira. Because that is actually, that's hinting to, that's what Sfirat HaOmer is about. Shezo avodat yimei HaSfirah. That's the goal of the work of Sfirat HaOmer. Lihizdakeich bivchinat behima. To purify the animal side of ourselves. To purify our animalistic side. Shemilvad inyanei ta'avot ein la ba'olama klum v'lavol b'chinat adam. To remove all of our physical desires, our animalistic desires, and to fully move into the reality of being a lofty human being. A human being who's committed to, who's focused on avodas Hashem, who's focused on Hashem and focused on spirituality. V'al pizeh, based on this, yesh l'va'er inyanat snufa. We can understand the focus on waving. Kidita b'medrash, as the medrash says, ala pasuk v'heinif et ha'omer lifnei Hashem, that we have to wave the omer before Hashem. V'ketzar yamarifo, how do we wave this omer? Again, molich umevi ma'ale umurid, molich umevi ma'ale umurid, that we do back and forth and up and down. We wave it back and forth and up and down. Molich umevi, what does it mean back and forth? L'misha ha'olam kulo shelo. We show, by going it back and forth, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back and forth, showing the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'aleh u'morid, up and down. L'misha elyonim v'tachnim shalom, that not only is the whole world his, but the upper realms and the lower realms are his. Back and forth, the whole world, up and down, the upper realms and lower realms, that all belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein matzinu inyan tnufa itzel levi'im. We even see this by the Levi'im themselves. Dichtiv, that when the Levi'im were inaugurated to become those who would serve the Mishkan, it says in Bamidbar, V'heinif Aharon et ha-Levi'im tnufa lifnei Hashem. The Levi'im themselves were actually waved. Every Levi came before Aharon and he waved each one of them before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ayu la'avodat avodat Hashem. That in order that they would be servants, meaning they were uniquely serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They, meaning Levi'im, are separated out from Klal Yisrael to uniquely serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they are waved to designate them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show that they are the true, that they're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different way. V'ivdalta to Levi'im b'toch b'nei Yisrael v'ayaliyah Levi'im. As the Pasuk says, you should separate out the Levi'im from b'nei Yisrael, and you should make the Levi'im to me. The Levi'im are uniquely mine from all of Klal Yisrael, says the Pasuk. Because they're dedicated to me in a different way. They are serving me in a different way. Sha'aron HaKohen, what was Aaron doing? Hinif kol Levi, he would took every single Levi, tnufa lifnei Hashem, and he waved them before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uvazeh hi rimo tomi ma'amado liot kodesh la'Hashem. And through this he raised up each Levite. He raised up that Levite from their current standing to be even more kadosh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La'avod et avodat Hashem, so that he could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Mikdash and the Mishkan in the ways that a Yisrael can't. Al derech zeh, the same way. Hatznufa ha'amura be'omer, hatznufa ve'lechem hatznufa. He comments on the essence of the barley and the wheat that we're bringing here on the Omer and on Shavuos. Is dafka, it's all about the waving. It's all in the waving. It's all in the dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all in showing that it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we're dedicating everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vinyana, the whole concept here is, Sheyehudi yitna'er meha'olam hazer, v'yaniv etzol asher yiparach, that a person should mamish shake off olam hazer. Shake off this world. Shake off their physicality. Shake off their desire. And dedicate themselves. Shake off their physicality and be mamish be a neshama. And dedicate their whole being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful concept. That's what we're doing here in the Omer Atnufa and the Lechem Atnufa. Zehu Yehuda shel kol tkufat yimei asira. This is the whole goal of Sfirat HaOmer, the whole destination of Sfirat HaOmer. Shem Kemoshe Katuva Ramban, as the Ramban says, Bechinat Chol HaMoed Aruch, beautifully, the Ramban says incredibly in his Perush on Chumash. He says that just like on Sukkot, for example, you have the first day of Sukkot, Chol HaMoed, and the second day of Sukkot, and Chol HaMoed is what unites the first day of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah. He says that there's one flow here from Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach to Shavuos. And Pesach, the whole Pesach, that's the Yom Tov Rishon. And Shavuos is Yom Tov Sheni. And Sfiras HaOmer, says the Ramban, is the Chol HaMoed, so to speak. It's the Chol HaMoed that unites Pesach to Shavuos. It's one holiday. It's one flow. Leaving Mitzrayim and then leaving all Mitzrayim behind to get the Torah. And the Chol HaMoed process that gets us from Pesach to be able to receive the Torah on Shavuot, that is Chol HaMoed of Sfirat HaOmer. It's not Mamash Chol HaMoed, but it's in its essence, it's the Chol HaMoed that binds together and is the bridge, the walkway, the tunnel that gets us from Pesach to Shavuot. The necessary gateway, the necessary path that we have to walk down to truly get from Pesach to Shavuot. Says the Ramban that it's a Chol HaMoed Aruch, it's like a long Chol HaMoed. That on this Chol HaMoed of Sfirat HaOmer, that through Sfirat HaOmer, we push away all of Olam Hazeh. That's what Pesach was about. That's what Mitzrayim was about. Mitzrayim was all about the physical. Mitzrayim was obsessed with the physical. Mitzrayim is referred to as Ervat Haaretz. When it talks about Arayos in a few weeks ago in the Parsha, in Parshat Achrimot, it says, before it says, don't do the Arayot, it says, don't do like Mitzrayim. Because what did Mitzrayim do? All of these Arayos, all the time. They were all about instant physical gratification, immediate physical gratification. Adultery, all anything went there. They didn't care because it was all about physicality and physical desire. And when they saw that they couldn't tempt us in that way, what did they do? They gave us specifically back-breaking physical labor. If they couldn't get us to give in to our physical desires, they would get us to focus on the physicality by making us work like dogs physically. All of Mitzrayim is all about physicality. And the process, you see us Mitzrayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu yanks us out. But over Sfirat HaOmer, we have to work stage by stage, step by step, put in the work, the effort, to leave the physicality behind, to wave off that physicality, so we can make ourselves spiritual beings that can truly accept the Torah on Shavuot. Shelachar Chag HaPesach, after Pesach, v'yitzias Mitzrayim, Sheyisrael nihiyu ha'ama nifchar la'Hashem. After we become God's chosen people, when He takes us out of Mitzrayim, ba'im yemei sfira comes along the time of Sfirat HaOmer. Sha'tafkid b'hem hu lihitna'er meha'olam hazeh. The goal is to leave olam hazeh behind. B'tznufat HaOmer, by waving the Omer. B'tznufat shtei alechem, by waving the two breads. Mita'avot ha'behemiyot mita'avot enoshiyut. From leaving our physical desires behind, and our egotistical sense of self that I want to do for me, that life is all about me, to leave all of that behind. To let all of that go. And dedicate myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ushtei halechem romzim, alechem kipshuto. These two lechems and these two breads that we then finally bring on Shavuot. When we finally get to the 50th day and we get to Shavuot, these two breads that we bring on Shavuot hint to lechem in its simplest form. The Chayim Darshan Chazal say, "Al halechem asher hu ochel, about the lechem that we eat. Shiudit tzarich lizakech bet inanim elu shiyu kodesh laHashem. That we should mamish sanctify all of our physicality to Hashem. Umivuar lefizeh, We can understand based on this, Lama nichtav inyan ha'omer b'parshat ha'mo'adot. We can now understand why the Omer is in this week's Parsha, is in Parshat Emor, as in the part of the Torah in Emor which talks about the cycle of the holidays. That's why it's here. V'chein ma, next page, second page, ma sha'sfira mityacheset l'omer, that which the sphira is connected to the Omer. Ki inyan ha'omer kashur la'avodat ha'tkufa shel yimei ha'sfira, because the Omer is what Sfirat Omer is all about, this time period is all about. Ha'miyu'ed l'taharenu mikivotenu mitumotenu. Why is it here in the Mo'adot? Because this Omer offering and this time of Sfirat Omer is part of the cycle of the year. It's what allows us to get from Pesach to Shavuos. It's only if we truly live up to Sfiras HaOmer, remove the physicality, and that allows us to come to Shavuos and be able to receive the Torah in purity because we've purified ourselves over Sfiras HaOmer. Somebody wrote, but I thought that the physical isn't bad, we just to elevate it. 100%, but that's what he's saying. Meaning, he's not saying here to reject physicality. What he's saying here is to reject, and I've said this many times before, and it's such a key... Internalize it. It's such an important concept, a phrase that I heard many, many, many years ago. The idea is to never allow the physical to be an end unto itself, but always a means to a spiritual end. That's the only difference, and it's all the difference in the world. Physicality should never be an end unto itself, but always a means to a spiritual end. I'm not an animal. I don't eat because I'm hungry and I want to eat. That's an end of, I don't eat because I love, because the food tastes amazing and I want to taste the food. That's anti-avodat Hashem. That's self-serving. That's physical desire. Why do I eat? It's to work. It takes time and a lifetime of effort to get to really get to this place. But it comes through working on it every day, a little bit every day. I work and say, no, I am eating. I need to eat to live. I'm eating so I can live. I'm eating so I can have energy to serve God. It's a means to an end. I'm only eating to serve God. I'm only eating to give myself energy to serve God. To change the focus there. That when I have that physical desire, that I'm channeling that physical desire as a means to a spiritual end. When a husband and a wife unite, right? There's tremendous. It's a tremendously physical experience. It's a tremendously physical moment when a husband and wife unite. The deeper side of Torah constantly emphasizes the fact that a person in that moment can focus on their own physical desire. That's anti-avodat Hashem. Or to focus on either looking forward towards the necessity of procreation and continuing on the Jewish people, but not even just that. But focusing on the more present sense of. It's not about me, it's about giving to the other. The person focusing on giving the other. Giving the other. Giving to the other. And in all of those types of situations, in the food, in the meat, when I sit down, even if I sit down to eat, and my goal is to eat to serve God, if I eat food that tastes delicious, it still tastes amazing. The goal is to overcome that sense of self and say, yes, it does taste delicious, and yes, it is amazing. But I'm doing it for God. Yes. In a marriage, there is tremendous, there's wonder in a marriage. But it's not for me, it's for God. It's not for me, it's for the other person. To get over the self, to get over the selfishness, to get over the selfish desire, and to utilize the physical for spiritual ends. That's the deepest avodah that there is. And dafka in those two areas, those are the two deepest areas of kedusha. That's how a person mamish truly attains kedusha. It's dafka in those two areas. Are things that we need to do, they're things that are what allow us to continue to live, in the moment, meaning to stay alive or to keep the Jewish people going, to continue to live and to continue on, and that a person enjoys doing, that there's tremendous pleasure in both of those things, and to mamish dedicate them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what real Kedusha is about. To do them even though I have to do them, to say, no, I'm doing them not for me, I'm doing them for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we're talking about. Somebody asked, what's the difference of the bread on Shavuot? That's going back to Adam Vehemat Toshia Hashem, that we go from our and the barley of the Omer to the bread of Shavuot, from the animal food of the barley, animalistic desires, the animal food and animalistic desires of barley, to the two breads. Bread can only be made by humans. We mamash have to go and reap it and bring it in and then grind it down and then make it into dough and then bake it. Like, meaning it's not only is it human food, but it's a food that only humans can produce. We elevate the wheat and we transform it into food in a way that's more reflective of a human, of embracing our humanity, of focusing on our humanity. Somebody also asked me, but you are still allowed to enjoy doing whatever while serving Hashem. You are, so first of all, of course you're allowed to enjoy it. The goal is just to focus on Hashem and focus on the other while you're enjoying it. And even loftier level than that, and again, these are levels upon levels that take a lifetime to achieve, is, let's say I go and I'm eating something delicious. Like I said, I let my physicality beat me and I came 3 minutes late to shiur because I had 10 minutes to eat and I took 13 because the food just tasted that good. I offered the most amazing pasta and meat sauce. I feel bad. I would offer you some, but we're on Zoom. It was just the most amazing pasta and meat sauce, right? The goal there is, which I haven't achieved, is I went there also to get koach between shiurim, just be able to go. I didn't know what she was going to put on the table. I went there to get koach to go from one Zoom shiur to the next Zoom shiur. The goal is to do it l'shem shamayim, to do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the goal there is even when I'm eating it, I'm tasting it, and the taste of the food is exploding in my mouth. It's not saying, wow, this food tastes so amazing, I love this. It's, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have extra hoda'a to you for making the food taste this amazing. I had to eat it anyway. Thank you for making it taste so good. Thank you for making such a diversity of tastes. Thank you for making me with such diverse taste buds. Thank you for making me enjoy it in such different ways. Thank you, meaning that I use it to use the physical to a spiritual end. I use it to bring out of me deeper levels of appreciation and hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Yehudi, a Jew, which is defined as he who has hodah. It brings out with me greater levels of thanks, of hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's already a loftier level. Levels upon levels. We're talking about Kedusha here. Levels upon levels upon levels upon levels. Everything we talked about is not even scratching the surface. That's Aleph Beis. That's barely entering, that's barely touching the gate. But this is what Kedusha is all about, is transforming the physical as a means to a spiritual end in every way. Okay, let's take it a little bit further. We're four lines in on the second page. Umashe b'tchila. Somebody says, or before I go forward. This makes it seem like we're not supposed to enjoy the physical at all. Again, yes and no. At this stage in all of our avoda, yes, we're supposed to enjoy the physical. But choose things that we physically enjoy and do them l'shem shamayim. Meaning, pick the things that I'm going to enjoy, but I'm still eating for Hashem. I'm still doing it for Hashem. That's the goal. Yes, as a person grows in their avoda, again, over a lifetime, we are meant to enjoy the physical world, but we're meant to, and that's what I was trying to explain based on the previous question, which is to, even though I'm enjoying it, to focus that joy and that pleasure into Avodas Hashem as a means to thank Hashem more, appreciate Hashem more. Even the pleasure becomes Avodas Hashem. But you're supposed, yes, we're supposed to enjoy the physical world. And the Gemara talks about that. We're dafka, yes, supposed to enjoy the physical world. But we're supposed to enjoy it in a way that's mutar, and then even we enjoy it in a way that's permitted, to then even channel that pleasure into thanks and connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All, again, at the end of the day, all physical is always meant to be a means to a spiritual end. Whenever physicality is its own end, a person has gone the wrong direction of Avodas Hashem. It takes a lifetime to achieve. I'm not saying to do this tomorrow. You should start working to earn it today, but I'm not going to achieve it tomorrow. But over a lifetime, to make sure that everything that I do in this world, any physical thing that I do in this world, is a physical means to a spiritual end. That's the ultimate goal. Continuing on, let's see if we can get in one more paragraph before we end. Yeah, we have time. Let's do at least one more paragraph. Umashe b'tchila legabe ha'omer, kotev rak v'haveitem et omer reshit ketzirchem, v'lo ketiv bikurim l'ashem. Coming back to an earlier question, we asked at the beginning by the Omer why it says you should bring an Omer of your first reaping of your crops. And it doesn't say an Omer of your Bikurim, of your first fruits, this elevated term of Bikurim, of first fruits. Why does it say your first reaping and not your Bikurim, your first fruits? Mipnei shebizman shehakravata, bizman hakravata Omer, hemadayim bifchinat behema, mishukaim memtet sharei tuma. That at the time that we bring the Omer offering, the day after Yetzias Mitzrayim, the day after Pesach, we're still on a level of being animalistic. We're still sunken into the 49 levels of Tumah of Egypt, the 49 levels of impurity of Egypt. Virak Bisof, it's only at the end of that process, 49 days later, on the 50th day, only at the end of that process, Rak besof la'achar ha'avodah shel yemei ha'sfira, only after the work of Sfirat Ha'omer. Magi'im b'chag ha'shavuot le'bechinat Adam, only then do we become an Adam. We leave our animalistic side behind and we become a human being. The Az Ketiv, then it can say, Mimoshevotechem taviu lechem tnufa shtayim bikurim lahashem. From your dwelling places you will bring two breads as a wave service, as a wave offering, bikurim to Hashem. Then we're already moving into the realm of bikurim. Once we become human, once we become spiritual beings, we can bring bikurim. V'chein chag ha'shavuot atzmo nikra yom bikurim. Meaning the whole identity of the chag changes. Shavuos isn't just Shavuos. One of the names of Shavuos is chag ha'bikurim. It's the holiday of bikurim. It's the holiday of first fruits. Ki uchag ha'kadosh ha'myuchad haba rishon la'achar yitzias mitzrayim. It's the first chag, this holy chag, this unique chag, that is the first chag that comes after yitzias mitzrayim. Shebo magi'im Yisrael l'dargah ha'ila'it shel bikurim la'Hashem, that we raise ourselves up to a level of bikurim to Hashem, of mamish, bringing ourselves as first fruits to Hashem. V'zeh gam ha'be'or ma'sherashi shina pirushei ha'tnufa ba'omer v'shtei alechem. This also explains to us why Rashi changes his explanation when he explains the waving of the omer and the waving of the bread by Shavuot. Why does he explain them differently in his Perush on Chumash? It's the same word. Why does he explain the waving by the Omer differently than by the waving by the breads on Shavuos? Shual derech shekatav Rashi, as Rashi says, by the waving of the Leviim, b'tzuvat Leviim, shne'emru sham shalosh lishanot shel tnufa, that there are three terms relating to the tnufa of this waving. Keneged b'nei kahat, gershon u'mari, he's taking us a little far afield. Just don't worry about writing this in the notes. Focus on just what he's saying so we can get back to our topic. He says there, by the waving of the Leviim, that there are three different terms used by the waving of the Leviim, each one for one of the Levite families. Kehat, Gershon, and Merari. That's why there are three different terms of waving by the waving of the Leviim. Okay? Shelekol echad mehem hayita bechinat tnufa acheret lefi madregato. The key there is that there were different terminology used by each group of the Leviim, because each family of Levites, each one was waved according to its level. The waving is relevant to the level of what's being waved. The waving, this is the key point, the waving is relevant to that which is being waved, to the level of that which is being waved. So too by us. Now it's back into our topic. At the beginning of Sfirah, the goal is to wave it up and down and up and down and right back and forth. Waving it up and down about the upper realms and the lower realms. And also in all four directions. That's the goal of the waving of the Omer. But once we elevate ourselves throughout Sfirat to Omer to bringing the two breads on Shavuos, Kivar ne'amar lashon harama l'shem gavoah, meaning there Rashi says, what does it mean to wave it? To raise it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's no longer about a recognition that God exists and that He's everywhere and that we're dedicating ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Already there, we're elevating ourselves in a totally different way. Rashi defines the word tnufa differently because the essence of the kavana and the goal of the waving is totally different. By the Omer, it's about waving everything off and starting to dedicate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and waving off this world and recognizing everything's to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The waving by the two breads on Shavuos, there it's about raising me up to a higher level of Kedusha because of what I've accomplished over Sfirat HaOmer. The waving is the same, but it's a totally different waving. Shemagia lebechinat Adam, because now I'm an Adam. I'm not a behema. Now I'm an Adam. Now I'm a person. That all of my physicality is now being raised up to the heights, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Kedusha. Here, a few minutes left, let's go a little bit faster, and let's get the last two paragraphs in, just see what he has to say. When a person goes to fix themselves, the Yitzhahara comes and attacks a person. When we go to do avoda, our Yitzhahara comes and attacks us. And it tries to get us, focus us on the simpler and easier things. And makes us not, tries to get us to steer away from working on the things that are harder to work on, that are deeper to work on, that are more challenging to work on. It tries to keep us away from the more rewarding things and the deeper things that we need to work on. As the Slonimer said, that's what it means at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra when it says, when a person brings a korban to Hashem, it says, when a person brings of yourself a korban to Hashem. And the way he understands it is, that when a person goes to bring a korban, the real goal of bringing a korban is not to bring the animal, is not to bring the barley, is not to bring the bread. Adam ki akriv mikem korban laHashem. A person, when they bring a korban, it's about bringing yourself. You're giving of yourself to Hashem. It's about giving yourself over to Hashem. She akriv at top of the next column, et hadvarim hakashim alav bioter. Meaning, Adam yakriv mikem korban laHashem, bring of yourself, find the things that are dearest to you, closest to you, the hardest to give up to Hashem, the hardest to give up and focus on and dedicate to Hashem. That's what Hashem wants you to mamish bring as a korban. That's what He wants you to dedicate to Him. The things that are most important to us. Az nechshav zot korban laHashem, that's mamish a korban. That's mamish a korban. Right? We're almost out of time. Just to give you one quick, very down-to-earth, earthy example, personal example, to make it real, right? When I made Aliyah, when I sold off half of my comic book collection before I made Aliyah, as a way of cutting some of the physical to move to a more spiritual space, that sounds like a very low physical example. That's what we're talking about. For me, that was very hard. Very hard. When I spent my lifetime collecting 15,000 comic books, selling 8,000, that was not easy. It wasn't easy. But that was saying, no, in Israel there's less space, and in Israel I'm more kaddish, and I'm getting rid of the ones that are not appropriate, I'm getting rid of some of my physicality, I'm dead, meaning that's an example. When I say, no, all I want to do is eat that chocolate bar, I'm a chocoholic, all I want to do is have the chocolate bar, but I know that it's going to hurt my body, and I choose the apple instead. That's a dam ki akriv mikem korban laHashem. When I take the thing that I want, and I say, no, I'm dafka not, because for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing it differently. That's what we're talking about. That's giving of ourselves to Hashem. And he says, Mikem, Roshei Tevot, Midah Keneged Midah, beautiful. You give of yourself, Mikem, Midah Keneged Midah, is the Roshei Tevot, that each letter there stands for a word. Midah Keneged Midah, Hainu Shedavka Eta Midah Sheba'alo Bekoshi Yakriv LaHashem, only that which is most difficult to you bring to Hashem. The holiest days, these incredibly holy days in the year. We have to leave our physicality behind. Leave our animalistic side behind. And be human. To mamish b'makriv ourselves this during right now, it's over to b'makriv ourselves to Hashem. To give up ourselves to Hashem. To give up all of our negative midot. To give up all of our selfish desires. To give up all of our yitzer haras. To give up all that physicality. To give it up and dedicate ourselves to Hashem. As this is hinted to by the Shtei Alechem, the two breads that are brought on Shavuot. All the things, meaning bread, symbolizes that which we desire. We desire food, we want to eat. And we raise that up, we bring that, we bring bread, dafka, as a korban to Hashem. Shemiklal ha'achana lekabel ha'Torah. As preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, Shiudit Tzarich la'akriv et Shtei Alechem, we have to bring the Shtei Alechem, ha'ilu la'ashem yibrach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, uvazeh yara'oi lekabel ha'Torah. And that's where we're able to be mekabel the Torah. V'zeh tachlit shel Yisias Mitzrayim, and this is the whole goal of Yisias Mitzrayim, and he goes on here in the last paragraph. We have to stop now because it's not fair to you. You need at least 10 minutes between classes. I would love to do the last paragraph. You need at least 10 minutes between classes. Kadosh Baruch Hu should be mezaka, should give us a bracha that we should be able to take advantage of Sefirat HaOmer, to recognize the tremendous spiritual energy of this time, to work on our midot, to work on our desires, in our physical desires, to leave Mitzrayim behind, to leave those physical desires behind, to leave our animalistic side behind, to mamish become an Adam. That we can stand there as an Adam Shalem, as a complete human, as a complete person, that is mamish able to, a spiritual being that's mamish able to stand there a few short weeks from now, we're already halfway there, to be able to now go and receive Bezrat Hashem the Torah on Shavuot, to spiritual beings, Bezrat Hashem by all of us. Shkoach everybody, see you next week.